let's return to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Milo's InternetMarketing.com radio program on TalkZone.com. We're talking today about viral marketing, a way through word-of-mouth advertising for your website. We've covered quite a bit so far. We're going to talk a little bit next about building your list with viral marketing. Viral marketing is the ideal way to build up an email and regular mailing list that you can use to promote your business. A few ideas on how to do that. You know, you've got to get people into your website. You've got to get people to know. Once they're there, you need to send them information to follow up on what your product is and the new and updates of it. Make it easy for people to get into your email list. A sign-up page on your website is a good idea. Any autoresponder that you have, almost every autoresponder, GetResponse, AdWeber, whatever it is, allows you to put on your site a little box that says sign up for more information, sign up for information about a product, sign up to get a newsletter, sign up to get a free item, and you'll put your name, email address, and any information they want possibly to get. And that email address then goes into automatically into your autoresponder when you have it set up. And then the autoresponder will automatically send that person, as soon as they sign up, a message that says, hey, we received request for information, and now we're going to send it to you. However, you have to let us know first. You can't just send it out. It's illegal, really, just send it out blindly. You've gotten these before, I'm sure. You get an email, and it says, click on this link in order to activate your account. And that's what does it. Then as soon as that goes back to the autoresponder, that automatically sends you that newsletter, automatically sends you that product information, automatically sends you that free gift, whatever it happens to be. But you want people to be able to get on your website and log in with their name and email address. So once you have that, now you have a nice basis for mailing. Every time you have a product update, you have a new item, you have something else you want to add, or you just want to remind people about your product, then you send out emails about your product. That's called broadcasting. You broadcast out your mailing to all of the people. The sign-up page should be very easy accessible from your homepage. So visitors can find it without any problem. Usually it's on the home page. It doesn't necessarily have to be. You could also place it on several different pages. Also provide the ability for some to sign up to receive snail mail promotions. Like we said, there's viral works both ways, online and offline. If it's a product, you may want to send it through the snail mail because some people give that credibility. And so you can also, when you ask their name and email address, also ask for their address, physical address, city, town, state, those kinds of things. Some people will pass on a piece of paper where they will not pass on an electronic link because they're so afraid of passing on bad links or something that would have a virus or something. So the autoresponder will handle most of that information for you, and one of these subsequent broadcasts will talk a little bit about different autoresponders and the different things they do for you. They do a lot, the autoresponders. They also allow you to set up a survey or a questionnaire and get answers to something, make people feel part of your group. Do you like red jelly beans or green jelly beans? Well, when they sign up, they can click which one they want, and then you send them back information about something. They just become a little more invested in your product, a little more invested in your website, and that's what it all counts. Use banner ads as your initial contact to your social network. These are easy to pass on, and they'll make it easier for interesting parties to find and sign up. In other words, if you put a banner ad on your website, then someone else will put your banner ad on theirs. So it's just kind of a tit for tat. But as we said the other week, you want to be careful not to get too many banner ads because it does throw up. But a side column, you'll notice many websites will have a side column on the left or the right with different items listed down. Those are banners that link to somebody else that will help sell their product, and they in turn have links on theirs to help you. Make sure your contacts pass on the word that it's possible to sign up for updates on sales and promotions on your product. That way, when a new contact visits your website, they'll be interested in finding out how to sign up and more information about it. So, kind of in conclusion, then we're going to move on. Viral marketing is definitely a strategy that makes the best use of one of the most important assets any business owner can have by harnessing the power of the various social networks. You can spread the good news about your business economically. That's probably the biggest clue, the biggest word, the most important idea, economically. Don't overlook viral marketing. That's using various means to get your product spread apart from others, to get people to notice it, to spread it around, and to let people understand that your item's out there and that you're there to sell it and help other people. We'd like to move to Andy for a few minutes. Andy, our expert computer person, working with computers for over 20 years, and he just knows everything there is about computing. If you have a question, ask Andy a question at AOL.com. Ask Andy a question at AOL.com, and he will do his best to answer it or direct you in the right direction, in other words, to respond to the question. Andy, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Milo.
We have one thing that I'd like to talk about. We have the last couple of weeks, and that's the Conficker virus. I understand it kind of reared its ugly head this past week.
Yeah, just a few days ago, it did become active, whereas we haven't known exactly what it's going to do. What it is they think, it's... It's using a scareware program. That's when rogue security software pretends to check computers for viruses and then claims to find dangerous infections that the program will fix for a fee. Then the rogue software lures them into paying for protection that is actually malware, offering little or no real protection, and is often designed to steal personal information. So that's what Conficker's doing these days. Again, any updates that Microsoft or your internet security software requires should be done as soon as possible.
Is that personal information off your computer or
right.
Business computer?
Personal information off the computer that's infected, yes.
So the main thing it does is it can get inside and take off your name, address, information, passwords.
Yep, and anything that... that the writers of this worm deem, important or helpful to them. It seems like it's becoming a scheme to make them money.
Any idea where it came from?
They're thinking Eastern Europe, somewhere in the Ukraine.
That's the dangerous thing about the internet. It's all over
it's
the world.
Worldwide.
And everybody, worldwide, right. So, again, they should just be cautious. Download if you don't have virus, I can't believe people don't have virus protection on their computer, but certainly download it.
And make sure all that your updates are up to date.
Any word on has it attacked any Mac computers?
You know what? I haven't heard anything on that, Milo.
The only thing is if they've got the dual computer, of course, the new Macs that have both, you can jump between the two, I'm sure they have the problem there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'll check on that and have more details next week.
Very good. Another question came up, follow through from last week, is that's about different printers. You know, people, the of course, cost of printers have gone down so dramatically in the last number of years, whether it's laser, color laser, inkjet, they've gone down in price, but then there's a process of buying cartridges, as a process of buying ink, and some, as you know, some of the inkjets have one cartridge for the different colors, and some have a red cartridge, a blue cartridge, a yellow cartridge, and so all those things you need to take into account when purchasing. But let's run through some of the different types of printers and pros and cons, some of each, and what people.
Sure, and you brought up a good point. One of the most one of the things that people don't think about when initially buying a printer, especially with the inkjet printers, the cost of the toner and the ink is going to end up being a lot more of the cost down the road than the printer itself. The printer is negligible as far as cost as compared with all of the supplies that you're going to need to feed it. Now, laser printers, it's the same situation if you're using if you're printing more. The laser toners will cost you per page less than the inkjet cartridges, but the laser printer itself is going to initially cost you more. So the laser printer will cost you more initially, maybe a little bit less per page cost down the road, whereas the inkjet are very inexpensive initially, but your ink and supplies are going to be the majority of your cost on those. And so if you're doing, you know, a lot of pages, especially if you're just doing black, you want to think about your future cost rather than your initial cost.
Could we run back up to inkjets for just a minute? I've read too. There are some printers out there that are $49,
$59. Sure.
And if you buy a double cartridge, a black black and a color cartridge, sometimes it's $36, $50, $40. And I've heard people who sometimes will buy two or three ink cartridges and get a new printer.
Yeah, well, when you're buying the new printer, they come with starter cartridges.
Correct.
In them that they don't have a lot of ink. You'll get maybe 100 pages out of the cartridges, if that. It's not that the printers are disposable yet, but you can spend more in your ink cartridges than the total cost of the printer.
And one neat thing they've done is most printers now, they'll pop up on your computer and tell you that your ink cartridge is low and you should change them. And my suggestion is not to change them until your ink isn't printing on your paper, because there's oftentimes ink left in there.
Yes, they are so expensive. A trick that I found even with the laser toners is if the laser toner is running low, even if you see some evidence of that on your prints, that you could take the toner out of the printer and physically shake it, and that'll get you more printing out of it. You want to do everything you can to extend the life of your cartridges and your toner, because they are the most expensive part of your printing process. So I agree with you, Milo, that leave the inkjet cartridges in your printer until you physically see, a degradation in your printing quality.
And you are correct on shaking those cartridges. I've gotten in business, 1,000, 2,000 extra copies printed. I just take it out, give it a good shake. And it evens the toner out, and it works.
Yes, it does.
What about the 3-in-1 printers? Some people worry where the printer will copy something, it'll scan something, it'll print something. I know there's some worry about the more things you have on a computer, on a printer, the more things can go wrong, the more problems you have.
Well, that's right. Anytime you have more functions in one unit, obviously more things can go wrong. The 3-in-1s, when they have the scanning and faxing capability, obviously there's more moving parts. So you can't have that problem. But in all honesty, they're so inexpensive. Again, you can get a 3-in-1 for a few dollars more than a standard inkjet printer. If you plan on using your computer at all for faxing or for scanning images, it makes sense to get the 3-in-1. Now, I've found also that the 3-in-1s with the flatbed are the most appealing to people, especially if you're scanning photos or pictures, because the flatbed does a better job of scanning than the ones that just feed through the machine.
Right, and if you do plan on doing a lot of scanning of photos and things, you need to look at a better quality printer in the dots
right.
per inch. How many?
They make the all-in-ones with the photo quality printing. They also, have the scanning with the 1200 dots per inch or 2400 dots per inch. What you want to do though is anytime you have more resolution in the scanning or faxing quality, it does take longer to actually do the scan. So you want to look for a machine that has, quicker performance, because sometimes those scans can take, minutes. And if you're doing, a lot of scanning, you don't want to have to wait minutes for each one.
Right, and the difference printing on photographic paper makes a big, big difference.
It makes
also
a huge difference. Yes. Again, it all has to do with costs.
Costs, right. It's a big word, costs. In some relationship, it's good to look at, if you have quite a few prints that you want to print, to take them to a place like the Photoshop store, Walgreens, stuff like that. It's amazing what they'll have specials on.
And the drugstores and things, it is amazing because you can actually get your photos printed for cheaper than what it would cost you just in paper and ink. So that is something to think about. Another thing you want to think about is different stores offer these refill programs where they'll refill your ink cartridges for a fraction of what they cost new. I've found that this, if you're doing a lot of printing, especially the color printing, this will pay off for you. The refills never last quite as long as the originals. But again, they fill them at a fraction of the cost. And so if you're doing a lot of, you know, I mean, if you're buying ink cartridges, you know, every week or so, you're much better off getting them refilled than buying new ones.
And I was researching the other day on this because I know we were going to talk about this, and it mentioned you could purchase the reusable cartridges, ink cartridges, or you can have yours refilled. And I've read that really, if you bring yours back, they have it refilled at a place that refills them, say on site right there. It's a much better fulfillment and product than some of the
right. I agree with you. Yeah, I'd be leery of the ones that you refill yourself.
Another question came up about wireless. The reason for a wireless printer?
Well, if we're talking about a networked printer, we have a few things there. You can have a printer. If you're just using one computer, you have the printer plugged directly into that computer, and that's good enough. That's all you need. Now, if you have multiple computers, or if you have a computer and, let's say, a laptop, in the other room that you take out, you know, and you want to be able to print from both of those computers, then you need to network your printer. Now, you could do that by plugging it into one computer and then sharing it over your network. Or they make printers that actually are physical nodes on your network. Then you need to decide if it's easier to do it wireless or wired. There are also printers that you can wirelessly use as a physical node on your network. And all that does is give you more flexibility as far as where you're going to put it and how you're going to connect it. Once a printer is networked, you can print from it from any machine that's connected to that network.
And that's very handy if you have youngsters in the house and there's some upstairs and downstairs. You have a printer upstairs or a computer upstairs, a computer in the basement or whatever, and you don't need a bunch of printers at that point.
Right. Anytime you have more than one computer printing to the same printer, it's ideal.
And, of course, we need to warn people when they purchase one, compatibility between Windows and Macs for the printers.
Yeah, most printers nowadays can work between either platform. There's, they connect with the USB, which is pretty much universal now, or the FireWire. All that is, it really is, most printers you could just get a different cable. So Windows and Mac compatibility is pretty universal.
I think we covered quite a bit today, especially with printers, and a few people had asked questions about that, so I want to thank you for that very much, Andy.
You're welcome.
And glad that Conficker finally raised its head. Is it going to be out there longer, or do you think it's pretty well?
Nobody knows. It's just it's only affected a percentage of computers right now, so we'll see.
Thank you. Well, we need to take a break. Stay tuned for much more on Milo's Internet Marketing Radio program on TalkZone.com.